What's up, guys? Welcome back to another Daily Bible Reading Snapshot. Today we're looking at 1 Samuel 7, 8, and 9. And really we see a big time span here. Actually, at the beginning of chapter 7, it says that 20 years pass. So the Ark of the Covenant stays at Kiriath-Jearim for about 20 years. And when it does that, we see Samuel go through all of his judging career, which, by the way, he's not a professional judger. What that means is he was a judge. He really was not a king. He was more of a judge, but he was a good judge and a righteous judge. Unlike most of the judges from the book of Judges, Samuel did it righteously. But what we see here is that he gathers the people together, which this is a common occurrence. We saw Moses do this. We saw Joshua do this. When there's a central leader in Israel, what they'll oftentimes do is gather the whole people together to preach a sermon. And this sermon that Samuel preaches in chapter 7 is basically that he wants these people to serve and obey God. And he says, if you serve and obey God, God is going to save us from the Philistines. He will be faithful to keep his promises from the book of Deuteronomy if we're faithful to keep the book of Deuteronomy. So he says that, and he says, look, I'm kind of going into retirement a little bit right here. So we see that take place. And in chapter 8, we see that when Samuel is not necessarily the main leader anymore, the people want a king. And the reason for that is not because Samuel was a bad leader, but it was because the people looked at Samuel and said, you're kind of like Eli. Eli was a pretty righteous guy, but your sons are unrighteous. So Samuel's sons became these unrighteous people who were not serving God. They remind us a lot of Eli's sons. And what the people of Israel say to Samuel is, you should give us a king. You need to give us a king. And there's a key verse here that I want you to see here in chapter 8. God speaks to Samuel. It's from verse 7. So this is 1 Samuel 8:7. It says, the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. So this is a big change that takes place. The people want a king, but it's not because they just need a really good political leader. It's because they don't want to serve God. So God says, fine. Let them have that. So what we see here is the selection of the king process, which might not be what you would expect, but in chapter 9, we see this guy named Saul is chosen because he's big and he's strong, and it says he's handsome and he's taller than the rest. So don't know how tall this guy is. Imagine some, you know, 6 foot seven, 6 foot eight, you know, model looking dude who is big and strong and all that, like, he's good at sports, everything. Like, imagine this big, tall guy. That's who Samuel, or not Samuel, that's who Saul is at this point. And Samuel chooses Saul because God directs him to. In chapter 9, you're going to see the path, really, that Saul took to become the king. It wasn't something that he sought out. It was God that sought him to be king. And tomorrow, we're going to see how Saul finally is anointed as king. So chapter 9 is an interesting story. Make sure you read that whole story because you see how God is very sovereign in all of the selection process and all of what happens there. So that's chapter 9. But the big takeaway, I think, here is the people of Israel rejected God as king. They said, we don't want God as king. We want a human king. Make sure that that sentiment and that heart motivation is not what's shared with you. People oftentimes today say, we want another king other than God. We want to serve other people, not God. Make sure that's not your heart, because these Israelites fell into a lot of sin because they did that. So that's here in the Old Testament. Let's turn to the New Testament. I said yesterday that we'd look at more about repentance, and we see here in Luke chapter 13 that Jesus speaks about repentance. And the context of this sermon on repentance might not be what you expect. The context is that these people come to Jesus and remind him of these disasters that took place in the land. And Jesus turned around. There was a couple, two of them in particular. There was these people that were killed, these Galileans that were killed by Pilate. And then there was also a tower that fell, probably in Jerusalem, the Tower of Siloam, and 18 people died. And these disasters are brought up with Jesus, and Jesus turns them around and says, do you think that they were more unrighteous? And do you think that's why God had them die in that way? He says, no, that's not what happened. If you don't repent, you will likewise perish. You need to see that just like these people who die these tragic deaths and all these people who die seemingly non-tragic deaths, if you don't repent of your sins, you will perish too. And not just in this life, but in the next life. And that's what he starts to talk about. And in chapter 13, verses 6 to 9, he starts talking about how if you don't bear fruit, if you're not a person whose life is showing the characteristics of following repentance and following Jesus in repentance, he says, then you're like a tree that doesn't bear fruit. What is God going to do with you? If you claim to know God, but your life isn't showing any fruit of knowing God, God's going to cut you down and throw you away just like a tree. And that's what he starts to talk about. There's this lady who Jesus heals, who had a disabling spirit, and the hypocritical Pharisees look at this and say, oh, Jesus shouldn't be healing. And Jesus turns around and rebukes them and says, shouldn't you rejoice about this, that a daughter of Abraham has been healed of this horrible, horrible ailment? Like, you should be rejoicing. You shouldn't be mad at me. You should be happy about this. Then he starts talking about the kingdom. He talks about how it's like mustard seed or like leaven. And both of those pictures show that the kingdom of God, it says it's like it starts small and then it will grow to be huge over time. And that really shows us a truth about the kingdom, that right now God is preparing people for the kingdom of God. And one day it's going to be huge and expansive. It's going to cover the whole world. And everyone who's there in this new world is going to be experiencing the benefits of being in the kingdom of God. But right now it's starting small. God is getting people ready for that kingdom. And hopefully he's getting you ready for that kingdom. And the way that you enter into the group of people that are headed to the kingdom is through what Jesus says here at the beginning of this chapter. Repent. Repentance. That means turning away from sin and following Jesus. That's what happens when you trust in Jesus for salvation and you become a Christian. You see repentance in your life. So that should be a helpful reminder to us. We want to make sure that not only are we trying to see the fruits of repentance in our life, we need to be trusting God for repentance in our life and say, hey, God, we want to turn from our sin. We want to put those things away. And as a Christian, you want to live like that continually putting away sin. As Paul said in Colossians 3, putting to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. So hopefully that's a helpful reminder for you, and it's a helpful reminder for me that God calls us to continual repentance. So thanks for joining us in today's DBR. We'll see you back tomorrow for another daily Bible reading snapshot.